Welcome to the Sports Scouting Report Podcast with Lee Brekeen.
Hey everyone, you listen to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Brekeen. Jace Lejeune's in the house today. We're doing this show for Friday, and it's going to be about a 20-minute show. We're going to talk about the combine, but not all about the combine. It's going to be about LSU baseball and LSU basketball. We'll talk about some of the other schools. It's just, you know, they're the big enchilada school, flagship school, big baseball program, top five in baseball in the country. They rank number 7, some polls number 2. Basketball, we'll talk about that, man.
That was tough. That was a heartbreaker.
And then we'll start in this segment about the combine. Jason and me, we'll just have fun with it. I mean, you know, the combine's the combine. It's my thoughts on it real quick. It's never going to be how tough you are at a combine. It's just really measurables and speed. And if you can, you know, turn here, you can run this way. And they just see what you, if you're not stiff in the hips and these cone drills. And, you know, they just see what you can't do. But really doesn't ever tell you what you can do. And a lot of guys are going to draft some guys that I call are combine guys. They can run. They measure great. They look like Sean Knight from the Saints back in the 80s. I saw was a first-round pick, was 6'6", 300, ran a 4'7". Was horrible in the NFL. Tony Mandrich was another one from Michigan State. He benched like 600 pounds, was 6'6", 320, 4% body fat. Struggled to get 3 years in the NFL. That's combine guys. And you're always going to have GMs that fall in love with the combine guy, the guy that ran the 4.25, or, you know, that'll get you drafted. It'll get you a cup of coffee, you know, get you some money now, $800,000 minimum if you get drafted. I mean, free agent. Get drafted, you make over $1 million if you're in the 7th round. But, Jace, there's a lot of guys. I know you're pulling them up. Just common sense, I know the LSU guys that are there.
Yeah, they're 9 guys at the combine for LSU. Derek Stingley, Cordell Flott, Tyron Davis-Price, Damone Clark, Austin Deculus, Neil Farrell, Chasen Hines, Ed Ingram, and then the kicker, Cade York.
Yeah. Cade's a physical guy. That's, I guess, if you're a combine guy, he doesn't look like a 5'8" kicker. He's a 6'1" kicker that's 200 pounds, and I wouldn't be shocked if he lifted 300. I mean, he's a tough guy with a 60-yard leg, and I don't think Stingley's participating.
Yeah, he's right? Not participating in the combine, and he feels that draft, you know, he's probably going to be a 5th or 6th overall pick, so why even run the combine? But out of all those players I mentioned, Lee, here's a question for you. I guess like the Cordell Flott, Tyron Davis-Price, Damone Clark, all those guys we mentioned, which guy of this list could pretty much help himself the most with a really good combine?
I think Damone will back it up, basically. I think Damone is a physical freak. And I think he's shown his senior year he's a great player. You know, fans gave him a hard time, Jace, for 3 years. And then the light came on, and it did that for Deion Jones at LSU. Deion was a late bloomer. Kendall Beckwith was a late bloomer. By the way, if Kendall Beckwith didn't have that injury, he'd still be starting for the Buccaneers.
Yeah.
Probably with Devin White. And, you know, linebackers develop late, but I think Damone's going to just freak people out. He's got a shot to run a 4.5 at 245 pounds or 4.59, which you don't see that very often. And then he's got the film, you know, to back it up. He's got the 150-plus tackles his senior year in SEC, and he's 6'3 legit. I don't think he'll measure under 6'3. If anything, he might be taller. And he's pushing 250. That's what these NFL clubs love. And he could play outside, Mike, middle. He can do it all.
Yeah.
So Damone, to me, Jace, I think he's a first-round pick. I think he's a guy that Mel Kiper's not going to put on the first round or any of these other guys. But, you know, there's always 8 or 9 guys that go in that first round that they never mention, and the NFL teams don't tell them.
Right.
But I think Damone is a 10-year starter in the NFL.
At the very least, early 2nd round, at least, you know. Yeah. That'll be a steal if he falls that much.
Flott's going to hurt him. He's just so thin.
Yeah.
You know, from Alabama. I don't think he's ever been over 165 at LSU.
No.
And 6'1", he's got some length.
Yeah, that's the upside with him was his length.
He struggled being the main corner when Stingley wasn't playing, but when he was a slot corner, he did great.
There were some flashes. You saw why Cordell was highly regarded. There were some flashes. It wasn't consistently there, but there were definitely some flashes.
He reminds me of Ron Brooks that came through LSU.
Yeah, that's a good comparison. Yeah,
and Mills, who's still with the Patriots.
Yeah,
I mean, the slot corners make $5 million a year.
Yeah.
I think running back wise, I thought I'd like to see Davis come back.
Yeah, another year.
Another year. I really do. And I know people are going to say, running backs have a short shelf life in the NFL and this and that. But it was a deep draft. And he's not, he probably could have been a first-round pick, maybe, if he came back with a better O-line this coming year. I think LSU's going to have a better O-line with Coach Kelly. That's his forte.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Stingley, I want to see the Stingley that played as a freshman.
Yeah.
I mean, golly, he was the greatest corner since Tommy Casanova at LSU, if you could talk to the older guys. And I mean, he was the greatest corner I've seen in my 51 years. I mean, he was so gifted, and he was dominant.
Yeah.
And then he never had that again.
That spark never happened. And, I mean, we thought we would be seeing another Patrick Pearson, Tyrann Mathieu kind of deal, and – DBU will continue with him. But
I thought he'd be a three-time All-American.
Yeah, me too.
Actually, he made All-American 1 year with no interceptions.
Yeah.
His reputation.
After his freshman year, I guess it made a lot of sense because everybody was calling him a top overall pick after his freshman year, and it said, well, you can't really go farther up than that. So it just never was the same after his freshman season.
The guy I like is Ed Ingram. From DeSoto, I think he's going to be like a fourth-round pick, maybe third round, because he's a mauler. I wouldn't be surprised if Joe Burrow tells the Bengals, man, draft my buddy Ed Ingram, who started for Burrow, because he's a great guard. And actually, he was the best O-lineman LSU really had.
Yeah.
But it didn't show because they were weak so much on the O-line. He couldn't play all five spots.
Yeah, you need more than one really good offensive lineman. It's a group position. That's why you need at least three or four good ones.
Ed's from DeSoto, Texas, and he's 6'3", 330, probably run about a 5'2", 40, which is not bad.
Yep.
And I wouldn't doubt if Burrow gets into the management and says, and Stingley's around and the Bengals need a corner.
They
got good safeties.
Right.
But and everybody goes, they're going to draft an O-lineman. Well, you can go O-lineman second, third, fourth round.
Mm-hmm.
And what if Damone Clark's around and Stingley? What would the Bengals do? They need a good linebacker too.
Yeah.
But I don't know. You can get free agent O-lineman. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see what the Bengals do. But I know offensive lines, they have to address it regardless if it's a draft or free agency, sure.
But I think Cade York will be a second-round pick.
Yeah.
I think the Cincinnati Bengals rookie from
And he Pearson, was drafted.
Pearson from Florida was a high draft pick.
Yeah.
And shown what he did. Jace, he won. He got him the Super Bowl with a bunch of 45, 50-yard field goals. The Las Vegas Raiders, he beat them personally by himself.
Right.
And I think Cade's definitely the first kicker drafted.
Oh, yeah.
And he'll be the highest-rated kicker ever drafted of LSU, I believe.
For LSU, definitely.
I could see second round. And you'd blow my mind if he goes first to a winning team. Could happen.
It's happened before. The Raiders drafted the kicker first round. So crazier things have happened.
The Saints did one way back. Russell Erslathan, was horrible from Texas. But he averaged 50 yards a punt. In NFL, he was like 18, 20 yards a punt. He was Mr. Shank.
Yeah.
those shanks.
Yeah, the Raiders also drafted a punter, Ray Guy. That worked out, even though it was a punter.
Greatest punter of all time.
Right.
In my day, anyway, he was phenomenal. Went off his foot 50 yards in the air.
Unbelievable.
We're going to take a break when we come back. I want to talk a little bit, maybe some other players, but we're going to combine that with LSU.
Right.
Basketball. We'll be right back. Listen, whatever you're driving right now, Tommy Harvey wants it. Bring it in to Harvey Subaru, Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City, or John Harvey Toyota. They're paying big bucks for all trades right now. They'll cut you a check right there. Tell them Lee sent you. Welcome back. You listen to the Sports Scouting Report. We're going to talk about Jace is pulling up some Louisiana natives from other schools. Jace, who would you like to...
So we'll start with some Louisiana natives, and then there's some other Louisiana schools that do have players participating in the combine. Let's go with other guys that are from Louisiana but went somewhere else. So there are five that stick out. Three are from Alabama, and that's what you talk about a whole lot. And the three guys are Chris Allen, Slade Bolden, and for Darren Mathis from Alabama. Then you have a former LSU player in Dari Rosenthal. He's in the combine with Kentucky. And then a former Catholic High Bears in the combine too, Zach Tom from Wake Forest. So those are the five guys from Louisiana that went somewhere else.
All these guys that would have made LSU so much better. You know, and I'm not throwing rocks or anything at Ed. I'm just going to do facts. But if just imagine if Fedarian Mathis was on the D-line this past year, Jace. Imagine if Dare Rosenthal would have came back. And imagine if Chris Allen, I know he was hurt this year with Bama, but imagine if they would have signed him out of Southern Lab, a big-time DN at 6'4", 270, runs a 4'7". And just imagine locker room-wise if Slade Bolden would have been on the LSU team as a leader.
Mm-hmm.
I'm shocked he's at the combine. I got to admit that. Now, I think he's there because he's a great guy.
Right.
I remember talking to Slade at West Monroe when he was a quarterback,
mm-hmm.
you know, his junior year.
Yeah.
Great guy. I mean, he walks – Slade Bolden walks in a room, and the whole team gets inspired. And that's why Nick took him. And people are like, well, he's not that good.
Mm-hmm.
Well – he gets leaders who belong.
Right.
And that means a lot. But anyway, Slade, I mean, he might be a Trent Taylor. He might end up making a team.
Well, he's another guy that, and especially with Bill Belichick and Nick Saban, they have himself a great relationship. That would be a guy I would not be surprised if he's playing for the New England Patriots.
I can imagine maybe the draft going on like round 7 and the phone goes ding, ding, ding. And
mm-hmm.
Slade's like, it's Belichick here. You want to come make the team as a seventh rounder.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, the money's $1.5 million. Will you want to come? I can see that. Or the Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
Those kind of guys that love those slot receivers. And Chris Allen, I think, is a second round pick if he plays this year.
Yeah.
He's a fourth round pick, I think. Otherwise, he's a specimen from
now. That's been the thing. I mean, the talent is unquestioned, but it's been injuries with Chris Allen. That's been the biggest thing throughout his Alabama career. But he stayed healthy. He would have had himself a great career at Alabama.
It's gonna make LSU people. I'm sure this is gonna be the talk, Jace. But Mathis is gonna go in the first round,
mm-hmm.
and he's from Neville.
Yep.
I mean, you don't lose guys from Neville, and
it's
another Louisiana guy that will be in the first round at 6'4", 320 can run.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He'll probably run a 5.0 flat at the combine or 5.1.
Right.
And you mentioned Dare Rosenthal.
Yeah, Dare Rosenthal.
Man,
yep.
From Faraday, Louisiana. I just hated to see him finish at Kentucky. 6'7", 330 can run a 5.2, 5.1. And he actually looked better at Kentucky, I gotta say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He looked better.
Yeah.
He was more leaner at Kentucky, and he actually was more in better shape. I just got to
That would have solved your tackle problem this year for LSU too, which that was a big problem for the Tigers this year, was that left tackle.
I want to mention LSU basketball. Here's my 2 cents, Jace. God, there's so much I wanted to mention. There's so much I don't want to mention. But, you know, Will Wade is in a part of his career where you just kind of got to grind.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to grind to just stay at a certain level, and there's a lot of pressure on him. And he's won SEC one time. He's made the tournament just about every year.
Yeah, the last 4 years, LSU has been actually the most consistent team in men's basketball in the SEC. They've been finished top 4 in the SEC this year. Now this year is, you know, that's not going to happen. But
yeah. Well, success brings pressure. And I think he's evolving, and he's young, and he reminds me of Bruce Pearl, Jace. Bruce was at him and Bruce Pearl parallel pretty much the
mm-hmm.
same. Bruce was a manager at Boston College, his first job. He was actually like the water boy.
Yeah.
People don't know that. So Bruce Pearl never played basketball
like Will Wade. Yeah.
Was a manager like mm-hmm. Will Wade. And Bruce Pearl, remember when he was the coach at Tennessee?
Yep.
He had a little success and people didn't like him.
Mm-hmm.
He was brash. Who was that remind you of?
Will Wade.
When Bruce Pearl got fired, it was because the pressure of expectations, and he was evolving. He wasn't a coach long.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I see. I'm not saying Will's going to get
fired. Right.
I'm just saying that if the fans are patient with Will, he's going to evolve into an elite coach. Bruce Pearl's now an elite coach at Auburn.
Yeah.
He's evolved.
Right.
Fans are really freaking out on this season because they started off 15-0.
Mm-hmm.
They've only won 5 games in the last 15.
Yeah.
I get it.
Right.
But if they make the NCAA tournament and win a game, people will calm down, I think, a little bit. But the pressure to win, and they see Tennessee doing well. They see Arkansas doing well. They see Kentucky being Kentucky. And Auburn is now unbelievable.
Well, the whole time, Will Wade was really trying to warn everybody. He wasn't – when they were 15-0, he wasn't like, oh, yeah, we're the best team ever. Everything was like, well, there's a – we have glaring weaknesses here. We have glaring weaknesses there. Yeah. And we haven't really seen those weaknesses until SEC play came. Yeah. So Will Wade was trying to tell really the fans something that this is not going to be, you know, like the best team we've ever had. And it's just unfortunately a lot of those glaring weaknesses have shown up.
And he's won every year trying to become a good coach. Like he's been evolving. And I look at the Bruce Pearl thing because Bruce Pearl, they fired him at Tennessee. And he did good at Tennessee, and he was under the shadows in the NCAA at Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Remember? I mean, just like Will, but right. I think Will's overcome it and has a chance to. There's still a little cloud there. The NCAA needs to come out and say it's over or whatever. But considering the way he's had to recruit with the cloud of the NCAA and all this stuff, I think he's done an incredible job because basketball was in the dumps at LSU.
Before he came here, I mean, nobody was really paying attention to LSU basketball. So he's done an excellent job with the program.
I'm just giving my 2 cents. I think he's evolving as a coach, and I think he will be an elite coach in a couple of years because he didn't have a lot of experience. He was a head coach at a smaller school prior.
At VCU.
And not done anything before that. And just like Bruce Pearl. You know, I wasn't a Bruce Pearl fan when he was at Tennessee. I'm like, that guy's cocky. I've always been a fan of Will Wade, though.
Yeah.
And I think he's been fighting a lot of battles, and he's overcome them. And the fans, I really, for some reason, I think it was 85 Team Jace with Dale Brown.
Mm-hmm.
They had John Williams, Ricky Blanton.
Yeah.
Nobody thought they would go on a run, and they won. They went to the Final Four.
Yeah, the next year, 86, yeah.
And they didn't have that team. They were just so up and down, you know, because they didn't have all the parts and pieces.
Mm-hmm.
I would not rule this out. I'm not saying they're going to the Final Four. I'm just saying if they get out of the conference, because SEC's got 6 of the top 12 teams now in the country, they might win a game or two. And who knows? I mean, Tari Eason and you know, Pinson.
They're dangerous, and they've actually been playing a lot better, even though the Arkansas game did not go their favor. They've been playing a lot better, especially with Pinson back and really the starting five. And Shaq's son has really come along the last couple of games.
Sharif.
So, yeah, I mean, this is a team that's still very dangerous, and I wouldn't be surprised they make a run at the SEC tournament and, you know, maybe win a game or two in the NCAA tournament.
Well, I mean, even if they end up with 23 wins, win an SEC tournament game, maybe upset Alabama, which really it's an upset now, win a couple of NCAA tournaments. You know, 23 wins is a successful season because I don't think he's got the talent that everybody thinks he has. It shows. I mean, they're not the most talented team on the court when Kentucky's out there in Auburn and
– right.
You know, even Arkansas has better shooters than LSU.
Right. They're definitely not the deepest, but there's good signs for next year because next year has a really good chance being one of Will Wade's best teams.
I think you're going to see coaching changes on a staff because they need a little stronger staff. And another thing, I will say this, Jace, you watched a game last night. And, again, I'm a Will Wade fan, but that's final 8 seconds. There was no play called, it looked like, and there was no timeout used. They had that timeout left.
Yeah, I thought they would call it, and really I thought they would call the timeout defensively before the foul. With Wilkinson.
Wilkinson, yep. I wasn't agreeable with the Tari Eason foul, you know, before that. But
yeah, I wasn't a fan of the hook foul either.
It looked like a hook on the other guy.
Yeah,
He kind of played it out.
Right.
Arkansas is the Hollywood acting team of charges, I will tell you that.
Yeah. Yeah, they get a lot of calls going their way, and that really put LSU in foul trouble.
But again, without, you know, being a downer to anything, I that's how I feel. I think Will Wade in a couple of years will be an elite coach. Now, hopefully he's still at LSU. And I hope the fans appreciate him and understand what he's trying to do. He's trying to grind. Because this is not Kentucky right now. This is not Auburn right now. But I will tell you this, next year's up for grabs because Kentucky's going to lose all their starters. Auburn's going to lose all their starters. Arkansas is going to lose Note, who's phenomenal.
Yeah.
And Tennessee's going to lose their freshman point guard and a few other players. So, I mean, just stick with the program. And it is frustrating to watch them. But, again, that 86 team was frustrating. And then they went on a run with Ricky Blant, who was an undersized center.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
6'6". This team doesn't have a big-time guy down low also. I mean, they got some height, but they're not there yet. Reed is not there yet.
Yeah. And yeah, he's still a work in progress.
We're going to take a quick break. We're going to have one more segment for 5 minutes. Let's talk LSU baseball. I've been watching a lot of baseball, and I really think this team has a chance to gel and be a special team. We'll be right back. If you need a paint job or repairs to your vehicle, go see Medin's Collision Center located in Baton Rouge, Louisiana on Kincaid Avenue. The number to call is 357-7983. That's 357-7983. Your Baton Rouge Accident Advisors. Welcome back. You listen to the Sports Scouting Report. Jace Lejeune is our co-host today. And I want to mention the LSU baseball team. And if you're a baseball fan and not a football fan, and let me say this. Football fans, they get mad every loss. There's a baseball loss, Jace.
Mm-hmm.
It's like 60 games, you know. Baseball, you're going to lose some games. If a guy's, like, dominant pitching, that pitcher's going to beat you. I don't care what's going
Baseball's
on.
Baseball's a funny sport. You don't have to be, like, the best team every single day, like, the best team to win on an occasional Wednesday night.
But
you know?
This is a 50-win team. And you hit 50 wins, you're good. And you hit 50-something, like 55 wins, that means you're almost winning a national title or you're in the thick of it. I really think that this is the best hitting lineup potentially I've ever seen in my 50 years. I've seen the Todd Walker, Rush Johnson teams.
Mm-hmm, right.
I've seen some phenomenal lineups.
Yep.
But this team has yet to even hit their stride. By the way, they're in the Shriners Classic this weekend.
That's a good test.
In Texas.
And that's a really good test for them.
Ben McDonald was pointing this out during the game last night that since the MLB's on strike, all the games are going to be on the MLB network.
Yeah, that's a chance for a lot of MLB, you know, general managers and a lot of guys really watch the college game, and that's what Ben McDonald was saying on the broadcast. So it was an opportunity for them and for a lot of MLB fans to watch a college game too.
Yeah, and some of these games weren't going to be telecast, so now they're all on MLB. I like LSU going against Texas. They're number one in the country. You know, when you put the Baylors and Oklahomas and Texas's Oklahoma State and all, those are some good teams. I really like LSU's chances to come out with half these wins, maybe not all. But I think Jacob Berry is an incredible hitter. Man, he's got 4 home runs. I think he's going to hit 20-plus. Cruz is a phenomenal talent.
Cruz, Trey Morgan.
Trey Morgan is the best hitter. Trey can hit 96-mile-an-hour curveballs.
Cade Doty's been really good.
Cade. And, look, Dugas hasn't even warmed up yet.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And Joe Bear's done great.
And Joe Bear's been great for the DH role.
Nobody in the country has 6 guys that are potentially 20 home run guys. I mean, we got 6, not even counting a couple of other ones that haven't warmed up yet. But the pitching, I'm really impressed with the guys that are pitching and how Coach Johnson's using his pitchers. And he's kind of dialing in on who he wants to get with for this weekend going into SEC play pretty soon. Instead of just continuing to throw all 14 out there, he's kind of found his 7, 8, 9 guys.
Mm-hmm.
And he's given them a lot of reps, I've noticed. And usually it's in the past it's been 14 guys until almost SEC play.
Right.
But I like that. Just go ahead and pick your 8 or 9.
Mm-hmm.
And all these freshman arms have panned out.
Yeah.
I mean, they are really good-looking kids. They all throw 92 to 95. I like the staff. Now, you might see a tweak here and there. Fontenot still might end up being a starter. Mikhail Hilliard could always go back to being a middle reliever. He's a great kid, regardless of what happens with him. I don't think it matters he's a starter or not.
Mm-hmm.
But they got 3 closers right now, Jace.
Yeah.
And they've got 3 guys that throw 95, 96.
That's what I want to see because they haven't been in that position so far this year, like up by 1 run in the ninth inning, need 3 outs. And I want to see who that closer could be.
Eric Reiselman throws some heat.
Yeah, he does.
He's hit 99. He's hit 98. Last night he threw 3 98s, 2 96s, 3 95s, and the rest were 92s. I mean, he is a flamethrower. And then Fontenot throws 96 when he's on 97. And then you've got some good arms like Samuel Dutton, who was on our podcast this past year from Alabama.
That's right, yeah.
He throws 92, 93, and he's probably pitcher number 14 out of the group. So, I mean, that is there's more pitching talent than last year in the last 2 years. And you know when you have those arms, you can see the work already being done by the coaching staff. This new staff has really done a great job. And it's all, let's face it, they can hit 150 home runs, but they have to have pitching.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Mississippi State's having a tough time because they've lost a lot of their stud hitters.
Yeah, from last year.
But I think Ole Miss will be good again. Obviously, Florida, you know.
You know, Vanderbilt's always going to be there. Great,
but LSU finally can take the field against Vandy and out-talent them.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much pitching, but I'm talking about hitting to where right. If Vandy gets six runs, LSU can get eight. I mean, it's you're going to see some games like 10-8,
yeah.
7-5. If you usually score six runs in a baseball game, you usually win most of those games. But this team has a chance of averaging almost 10 runs a game, like you saw the other night with UNO,
mm-hmm.
who's got a good team, by the way.
Yeah.
I think Southeastern UNO, that's going to be a great
matchup.
Yeah,
that's going to be a great matchup. I think they're near the top in the Southland Conference this year for baseball.
I think they picked Southeastern to win it.
Yes, I believe so. I think UNO was picked third, I believe.
Northwestern's pretty good.
Yeah, Nichols is pretty decent.
Incarnate Word. And all the big guys left. Sam Houston baseball left. Mm-hmm. Stephen F. Austin left the conference.
Right.
Like Ben was saying last night. But Jace, I went to a lot of games and watched a lot of baseball going back. I go back to Ben McDonald.
Yeah, right.
And I saw the Todd Walkers, the Rush Johnsons. I saw all the championship teams. But, man, this pitching unit, if they can just be
– they don't have to be perfect.
No, if they can just be solid,
mm-hmm.
just give up five runs a game, I'm telling you, this offensive – and they're not even hitting their stride yet as hitters. I mean, they're not even hitting their stride mm-mm. yet. I mean
– that's scary.
I'm really excited to see what they're going to look like, let's say – fourth week of SEC play, I could see them, you know, maybe like, you know, 90% wins of those first four weekends. I could see them taking their first four series or maybe three of the four.
Right, right.
And then after that, you better not – I don't think you're going to want to play LSU.
Yeah, it was going to get interesting because even though LSU's lineup's really that good, it's just the schedule's just really tough. And, like, really their tough series, like the really tough series for them are going to be on the road. So that's going to be the biggest thing for LSU this year. But should be excited to follow them all season long.
Well, and you know, Milazzo has really improved a little bit as a catcher, as a hitter. He's got a great arm. And hopefully Cade Beloso maybe toward the back end can get back and, you know, Bianco's doing good as a backup now.
Yeah.
I mean, they got so much depth. Josh Pearson from West Monroe, the freshman, he's going to be a stud.
Yeah, he is.
And Josh Stevenson, Andrew Stevenson's brother, he's going to be a stud.
Yeah.
And they're backups.
Right. And they're deep.
I mean, they have six outfielders they can. And Brody Drose is hurt right now. I mean, you don't even notice it.
Yeah.
Beloso's hurt. Drose is hurt. And you got a couple of pitchers out. So, I mean, and you don't even see anything slipping on depth. Remember in the past, you'd have an injury to baseball. Oh, we had a guy get hurt.
It'd be affected, but this is a really deep LSU baseball squad.
Really deep. I would like to see the errors go down in the infield.
Yeah, that's been the biggest thing, especially it showed in Louisiana Tech loss with all the errors. But you also have to play with the field conditions and, you know, how cold and damp it was that night. But you still want to see it has shown, and hopefully that's not the main thing that can cost LSU some games down the road.
Yeah, I want to mention, if you have time on Monday, we got Richie Casey, an interview at Richie Casey on Monday.
Yeah.
From Homer High School, they won the state championship in 2021, their first since 1939. And Richie's going to join us on Monday. On Wednesday, we've got Greg Wood.
Yeah, Greg Wood. And we also have Robert Valdez, too. So he'll be coming on from St. James. So it should be a good show. We're back next week. And one more thing before we go, Lee. I just want to mention these five guys also in the combine because they're from other Louisiana colleges, too. For UOL, they have two, Max Mitchell and Percy Butler. So that's UOL. from there for the combine for them and the great great run they had with Billy Napier. One from Southeastern, I called a lot of his games the last 2 years. That's Cole Kelly. Cole Kelly for Southeastern. Nickel State, Dejon Dixon, their receiver.
Yeah,
he's a
Ed
stud.
Ed Nakar.
Yep, Ed Nakar. And then how about one from Southern, Jatari Carter from White Castle, the offensive lineman. So he got invited to the combine too. So five other guys to mention briefly.
White Castle's Ronald Martin was the last NFL player from White Castle. White Castle per capita is like Homer. They've got talent, unbelievable talent. I want to mention Max Mitchell will be on the show.
Soon.
Neville went to UL, is going to be drafted high in the NFL draft. His dad's going to come down with him from Monroe.
Mm-hmm.
We're hoping to get Damone Clark on once the combine ends and everything. And you were mentioning the Plaquemine kid, Percy.
Yeah, Percy Butler. Yep, that was one of the guys. Dad coach back at Plaquemine.
He's going to be a starter in the NFL. He gets it.
Yep.
And who was not recruited heavily? Him, because Harris came
Year same time
with LSU.
Yep.
That just goes to show you.
Mm-hmm.
Percy goes over there. He ends up being an all-conference player.
And that just shows you what a great job recruiting that Billy Napier and that whole staff did while he was there, because they grabbed a lot of the guys you were high on, and they were kind of flying under the radar. They weren't the five-star guys, obviously, but they were, you know, they were listed as like three stars, but they're really, you know, four or five stars,
too. And
look,
I got nothing against Todd. Todd's a great kid. But Todd just, you know, he had a lot of combine days. I had some good combine workouts.
Mm, yeah.
But Percy, man, that kid's got a chance to be a 10-year starter in the NFL.
Max, he's had a great career.
Max Mitchell, LSU did not offer him out of Neville. How can you not? At 6'5", 290, runs a 5'1", and will go in the first three rounds of the draft probably.
Yeah, him and Osiris Torrance.
Another one from St. Helena Central they did not offer, who's 6'5", 350, runs a 5'1".
Yeah.
Actually, he's got another year left at Florida.
That's right.
Florida.
Yep. Follow old Billy there at the Gainesville.
Oh, goodness. He's got the Gator helmet, and I'm pulling for him. I'm not pulling for Florida.
Mm-hmm.
But I hope everybody has a great heck, I'm getting my show's confused because we're pre-taping, but I hope everybody has a great Friday, and we'll see you on Monday. Be sure to take your car and truck for all your tire needs to Treads and Care Tire Company, located in Central. The number to call is 331-8144. Family owned and operated since 1971. That's Treads and Care Tire Company. Gros Savant Lodge, the true sportsman's paradise. Gros Savant Lodge has fresh and saltwater fishing, alligator hunting, waterfowl hunting, and echo tours. Located south of Lake Charles, Louisiana, give them a call at 337-598-2357. That number to call again is 337-598-2357, and have the time of your life. Gage has served Louisiana for over 40 years. Let Gage create a custom-tailored solution for your business and become your partner in technology. Give them a call today at 225-753-4243 and help your business get better connected with Gage.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Scouting Report podcast with Lee Brekeen.